2SER Breakfast.
Well, if you think clever expressions and idioms are the cat's pyjamas, then Olivia Rosenman and Helen Rheinstrand are definitely the bee's knees. They are the expressionists, hosts and creators of a podcast dedicated to lifting the lid on the strange expressions that pepper our speech. A very good morning to you both. How are we?
Very well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, great.
Now, you're getting in the festive spirit.
We are indeed. Yes, it's about that time, isn't it?
Yep. The silly season is upon us.
Silly season, huh?
Yeah. So in the UK, I mean, okay, let's start from the beginning. What do you think the silly season means?
Well, see, I associate it with just the sheer uptick in pace of trying to get everything done. To me, silly season is relating to work shutting down, you trying to get everything organised for Christmas or, you know, whatever celebration you're having around this time of the year. In regard to, I don't know, the shopping panic that arrives.
Shopping panic, drinking and eating panic, yep. I think as well.
I rarely panic about those.
You'd rarely panic. Yeah. But I mean, I think that there comes a point in the month where you're like, oh my God, I can't actually consume anymore, but you just have to keep going. You have to roll with it.
You just have to do it.
Yeah. But in the UK, that is not what it means.
Okay.
It is a slow news period in late summer when media tends to cover trivial material.
Sorry, what? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Amazing, right? So it means what we think it means in New Zealand and South Africa as well. But yeah, in the UK, it's apparently because in the 19th century, that's when Parliament had its recess and all those other kinds of big institutions. And so the first citation we have for that meaning, the UK meaning, is in 1860. And you can see how that kind of ended up meaning Christmas and New Year holiday season here, because that's when our summer is. But this is not actually the most interesting thing about this phrase. So it has a quirky family history, a little bit like, you know, an oddball uncle or something like that. So going back to the UK version, silly season seems to be a newer version of a phrase that dates back to the 18th century, which is cucumber time.
Cucumber time.
Okay. Yeah, quaint, huh? So gardeners and salad fanciers listening will know that this is also still summertime. It comes from the period of high summer when the cucumbers are in season and the gentry would have been out of London and the tailors had no work to do. So, yeah, so the tailors had, you know, slow season in high summer because all of their clients were out of town and that was called cucumber season.
So ultimately, silly season relates back to underworked haberdashers.
Yep, basically.
Sure,
yep,
sure.
Yep.
In that fact, makes as much sense as anything
reasonable.
Else.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
For a while, you could refer to a tailor as a cucumber. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Cucumbers are slang for tailor. And the interesting thing, another interesting thing, is that this phrase and the idea...
I can't tell if you're serious.
I'm serious. This is all information that is true. The phrase exists in other European languages as well. So in German, it's Saure Gurkenzeit.
Of course,
Gurkentime.
Yes.
Beautiful kind of, you know, what's it called? Like word where they're all stuck together.
Yeah.
There's Estonian has one, Dutch has one, Norwegian, Hungarian, Czech,
all relating
Polish,
to cucumbers.
And yeah, it's either cucumbers or gherkins. And Hebrew has one. So the last interesting thing is that I came across a suggestion that because of the long association of Jewish people with the rag trade and the fact that there's a Hebrew version of this phrase, that it might actually come from or have been circulated through these European languages via Yiddish, which might make silly season an even better, more kind of inclusive phrase for this time of year.
Mind blown. Absolutely blown. Can you even top that?
I don't think so. I think we should just end the segment here because all I really want to do is complain about a silly season idiom that people often get wrong.
Which is?
So, pudding, right?
Yeah.
The proof of the pudding is in the
eating.
Right. Often mistaken as the proof is in the pudding, right? As if the proof is somehow hidden in the pudding and in the eating, maybe you'll discover it. So...
That's
course.
What I say.
I mean, you know, there is that pudding that has the little penny in it. So I can see how people might mix it up. But no, so the saying is the proof of the pudding is in the eating. It is sometimes shortened to the proof of the pudding, but always often very incorrectly is the proof is in the pudding. So for those who aren't familiar with it, it means that basically the quality of something or the efficacy of something is proven in by putting it to its intended use. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So you eat the pudding. I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, when,
I mean, I don't need
unless
to explain
you eat the pudding.
Explain that.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And it sort of is a slightly antiquated usage of the word proof that means test or trying out. So the first recorded usage of that goes back to the 17th century, a 1605 book called Remains by William Camden, who was an English historian. Interestingly, this book, which I'm surprised, Helen, you and I haven't come across yet in our expressionist research, is apparently, not only was it a collection of historical essays, but it just included the first historical glossary of proverbs.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So the theory behind it is, so the pudding that we're actually talking about here is not that delicious, fruity thing that we all know. But actually in that day, pudding was referring to sausages because that comes from the French word boudin, which is a sausage. So there is one theory out there that the reason that they would say proof is in the pudding is because that was a pretty dangerous kind of food to be eating at that time. It was the entrails of an animal filled with all kinds of other bits and pieces of the animal. So the proof of the pudding really was in the eating.
I'm very impressed by that one. And it just makes me think, you talking about the archaic, slightly archaic use of the word proof or proving always makes me think of it's the exception that proves the rule.
Yes.
And of course, in that sense, we're talking about tests the rule, not proves the rule way we think of it now. Look, I looked up one for this because I thought turkey.
Yes.
And I thought, let's talk turkey. And I discovered that the first written use of that to talk turkey is from 1824, and it was to talk cold turkey back then. But in no way relates to what we think of as going cold turkey. They are completely divergent etymologies. But it used to mean a very friendly and polite conversation, not the more kind of serious chat that we think of now when someone says, let's talk turkey. You think about bringing the tone into a more serious kind of level. It used to be just a really friendly, nice conversation.
Is that because turkeys, when they sort of make their noises, they're just so light and delightful, like that?
Actually, there's a few theories
it sounded like
about
a chicken,
it.
I think.
That was far more chicken than turkey. Turkeys make terrible noises.
To work on your accents.
It's actually believed back to, of course, European arrival in the Americas, that so much of the conversations that would occur between the Pilgrims and Native Americans would be about turkeys, that Native Americans would greet them with, have you come to talk turkey?
Ah, so instead of talking about the weather like British people do, it was talking about turkeys.
There we have it. All right,
that's
so
wonderful.
Tell me where we can find more of all of this delightful chat about idiom.
Indeed, and we'll be having, there's even more talk of festive idioms to continue the spirit of the silly season in our next episode, which is released next Friday, the 14th of December.
Right? 15th.
Whatever next Friday is, it's well and truly cucumber season. We've lost our mind.
It's the 15th.
It's the 15th. It is the 15th. I had to triple check that myself just then. So, yeah.
And you can find us on any podcast player. You can ask your Google Home Assistant to play The Expressionist. Okay, Google, play The Expressionist. I hope I just turned it on in someone's house. and failing that, find us at our website, expressionists.audio.
I am definitely going to try that with Google Home today when I get back to my house. Thank you very much, Helen and Olivia.
Thank you.